Good evening, and welcome to a very special evening of Carols by Candlelight here at Jersey Baptist Church. If you're here for the first time, my name is Drew Waller, and I'm one of the leaders here at church, and we're really glad that you're with us this evening. And tonight, we will enjoy an excellent evening of music and traditional Christmas readings. Everything that you'll need for this evening will be in your little service booklet, and as a general rule for the congregation, we'll stand for carols, and we'll sit for readings and for the address. Also, if you are sitting next to a child, can you help them not to play with wax and fire? That would be fabulous. Okay? And just do, we're going to do a little family self-monitoring this evening. Again, as I said, our evening will run uninterrupted, but I'll rejoin us at a few points in the evening with a few brief words. But let's begin our time now with prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this special time to reflect on the miracle that you sent your eternal Son into the world, that you sent your King into the world. And so tonight, as we enjoy music and words that reflect on this good news that Jesus came so that we might know and celebrate the truth that he is your saving King, we pray that we'd be mindful of these things and that we'd be attentive to your word, and that we'd respond with faith. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now stand for our first carol. Do be seated.
The first reading of this evening comes from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 15, and that can be found on the second page of the service booklet. So Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed figs leaves together, and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Good evening. Today's reading basically is taken from 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 to 16. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him. As I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure. Forever before me, your throne shall be established forever. Second reading, Isaiah 7, verses 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Thank you. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Matthew 1:18-23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Our next reading is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Well, again, welcome to our Carols by Candlelight service. Before we look at this last passage, let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, tonight, among friends old and new, we pray that we would hear from you from your word. And so please be gracious to us tonight and reveal yourself to us through your Son, Jesus. And in turn, we pray that this Christmas we would celebrate Jesus Christ as our God, as our Savior, and as our King. Therefore, guide us tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit to know and celebrate Christ at Christmas. Well, it is December 22nd, and I don't know if you've given much thought to how you might respond on Christmas Day when you receive a dud gift. Now, of course, most of the time, it's the thought that counts, and most of the time our loved ones will give us thoughtful and generous gifts, but on occasion, a well-meaning relative will give a gift that is destined for the charity shop bag. And on these occasions, it's critical that in receiving that gift, you know how to respond, both without lying, but also without being mean. So, for instance, when Aunt Edna gives you a used soap on a rope, or when your spouse decides to give you a new washing up bowl with matching marigolds, it is essential that you have a few set phrases to negotiate the bad gift. So, for instance, you might say, "Oh, you shouldn't have." Or maybe, "Gosh, what have I done to deserve this?" Or another one that always works is, "Now that is a present." Or alternatively, you might say, "Well, you know, whenever I think of this, I will think of you." But you know, in thinking about both good gifts and bad gifts, it got me to thinking about what would be the perfect gift for me. And it's funny, this last week, my wife has been saying, "What do you want?" Men are always frustrating to buy for, aren't they? And without a doubt, I think that I would say for myself and for our whole family, we would love to have one of those life managers that sorts out everything. You know, like, you know, just a personal assistant for all of life. You know, someone who could give us wise counsel on how to deal with tricky situations or maybe even tricky people. Maybe having someone who could take charge of the areas of our lives that are a mess. You know, they could take the garage and just presto, change it, make it perfect. Or maybe having someone who knows us inside and out and always has our back, someone we can trust. Someone who can smooth over the disruptions of life and bring peace and order to the inevitable chaos that comes with modern living. Because I think that personally, for most of us, we are often confused about life, particularly the big questions in life. We often feel weak in life. You know, the things that are thrown at us are oftentimes more difficult than the energy we have to bear. We feel divided from one another, where there are relationships that just don't work and we can't figure out why. Which is why I bet that many of us wish that we could just have someone who could come in and sort out our lives. Well, tonight I get the privilege to share with you about how God has given us the best gift in the world. He's given us his Son. And in the final reading of this evening, the prophet Isaiah predicts the birth of the eternal rule of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah predicts that God would send to us a Messiah, a Savior, that he would send to us a child given to us to lead us. Isaiah predicted in Isaiah chapter 9 that upon the shoulders of this promised child that the government would be established, that God would send a Savior into the world to govern the world. Now, I would guess that many of us would be cautious about this prospect, because we don't like the idea of giving over control in our lives to someone else. So, for instance, my guess is that if Boris Johnson came and said, hey, you know, after I finish this whole prime minister gig, I'll come and sort out your life and run your life for you, I imagine that most of us would be naturally cautious. Because even though a good portion of us might be happy enough to let him run a country, our lives are a different story. We like to be in charge of our lives. And we're naturally cautious about giving control over to others, because we're fearful that if we let someone else lead, particularly leading our lives, they might do so in a poor way. And this isn't anything new. In Isaiah's day, on the one hand, the people longed for a leader who could actually lead them, just like we do. And they were searching for someone to lead them. But just like today, in Isaiah's day, people were disillusioned with their leaders. At best, they only trusted them to a point. But here in Isaiah, the prophet predicted that God would one day send us the leader we need, that God would send us a child who would be able to shoulder the burden of governing the whole world and our lives, and that his government would be one of peace and righteousness and justice, and that his government would never come to an end. And the good news that we celebrate at Christmas is that God delivered on this promise. 700 years after Isaiah wrote these words, God sent a child, his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus was born by the power of the Holy Spirit, born to the Virgin Mary. He was born in the royal line of King David, thus fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament that predicted that he would be born of a virgin and born from the house of David. And Jesus came into the world to rule it. He came into the world to lead our lives. But of course, I recognize that you may be someone who is cautious about the prospect of Jesus ruling your life. Maybe you look at him and you can't help but think of seeing him as kind of a used soap on a rope. You know, that gift you never really actually wanted. If that's you, Isaiah's words are for you. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet assures us that Jesus is the leader we both want and need. Firstly, Isaiah predicts that this promised Messiah king would be a wonderful counselor, that he would be wise in his rule, that he would have insight that's illuminating, that he would offer us the kind of counsel that we eagerly lap up, that he is a wonderful counselor. And Jesus confirmed that he is the promised wonderful counselor. The Bible tells us that Jesus taught people with authority, that people hung on his every word, and indeed, still today, Jesus' words frame our moral conscience. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, give them the left as well. The first will be last, the last will be first. For what shall it profit a man that if he gains the whole world and yet suffers the loss of his soul? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. These are all Jesus' words, his wonderful, wise counsel has captivated billions of people for 2 millennia. And this is because Jesus is the wonderful counselor who was predicted by the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus also demonstrates that he's the leader we need through his strength and power. Jesus did things that only God can do. His miracles are evidence of his mighty power. The historic record reveals that Jesus healed deadly disease. He raised people from the dead. He was in control of nature, able to walk on water. He was able to pacify violent storms. And that's because he is the mighty God who was predicted by the prophet Isaiah. See, Jesus is a leader with actual power. He has power to change even impossible situations in our lives. But I get that some of us might still be cautious about the prospect of Jesus making changes to our lives. Because to quote the illustrious Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. But Isaiah assures us that the promised Messiah will be like an everlasting father. So in the same way that a diligent father dotes on his children, defending them and nurturing them and loving them, Jesus came to care for us. And he demonstrated his love for us by dying for us. Because in dying for us, Jesus made a way for us to become a part of God's family. Through his death, he made a way for us to be in a relationship with God where we can be received by God as his beloved children. And this is because at the cross, Jesus reconciles us to God. And make no mistake, we do need reconciling to God. Because all of us have lived life on our own terms apart from God's rule. And the Bible uses the word sin to describe how each and every one of us has chosen to live our lives on our own terms. And sin is the reason why our society is in such a mess. It's the reason why we feel confused and weak and vulnerable. It's why we experience division in this world. Because each and every one of us has rebelled against God and live life on our own terms. But the very good news is that Jesus paid the cost for our sin when he died on the cross. And in doing so, he made a way for us to be reconciled to God. And this is why in Isaiah chapter 9, the promised Savior King is described as a Prince of Peace. The Messiah is described this way, because it was expected that this individual would reconcile humanity to God, that he would bring peace where there was once rebellion. And Jesus is the one who fulfilled these expectations. At the cross, Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled to God. Because at the cross, Jesus took away our sin. He took away the judgment we deserve. He took away God's wrath. And by his sacrifice, we can now have peace with God. Which means that when we put our faith in Christ, we can approach God without any fear, trusting that he will receive us through his Son. And that's what's on offer. Jesus is God's gift to the world and to each one of us personally. God gave us his Son to be our wonderful counselor who can lead us wisely, and to be our mighty God who can provide for us when we're vulnerable, to be like an everlasting Father who loves us through thick and thin, and to be our Prince of Peace who offers us eternal reconciliation and peace. And this Christmas, we have an opportunity to receive this gift by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, the appointed ruler of the whole world. Now, I don't know if you've given much thought to how you might respond to the gifts you will receive this Christmas. Hopefully you won't give or receive a used soap on a rope. But as we close, can I ask you, how will you receive God? Jesus is God's gift to us. How will you receive him? Is he the gift that we give lip service to at Christmas time, but then he's in the charity bag come January? Or will we recognize our need for him because he's the gift we desperately need? As we conclude our evening, take great confidence that God has sent us a Savior and a King. He sent his Son to lead us with wisdom and with power, with love, and ultimately to bring us everlasting peace. And with that in mind, maybe this is the year that you decide to turn to God and receive the gift of his Son. If you're a guest with us, maybe 2020 is the year that you join us here at Jersey Baptist Church and discover what the Bible says about Jesus. Because Jesus is God's promised eternal King. He is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My prayer this evening is that we would receive this gift from God by putting our faith in the Son. Merry Christmas. And I hope I will see you in the new year. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world, who came as a child and upon whose shoulders the weight of the whole world was placed. Lord, we thank you that he has come. And we pray now that we would receive him in faith, that we would trust in his counsel, trust in his mighty power, trust in his loving care for us and his ability to bring us everlasting peace. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Well, as we reflect on the truth found in the prophet Isaiah, we'll now conclude our time with our final carol and then a prayer. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to blow out our candles. But before we do, I would really encourage you, do seek out Christ this Christmas and going forward into 2020. There's a number of ways that you can do that here at Jersey Baptist. First of all, we will be celebrating Christmas both on Christmas Eve here at 8 p.m., which I think is a fabulously sensible time as opposed to 11 or 12 o'clock at night. So 8 p.m. we'll have a communion service here celebrating Christmas. And then Christmas Day at 10 a.m. we have an all-age extravaganza. And my goal is that everyone thinks the vicar's lost his mind. But it should be a fun time, especially for the kiddos. So if you've got kiddos in your family, it's a great time to come along to church on Christmas Day, 10 a.m. Do join us then. Also, if you're visiting church this evening and you live in the area, we'd love to invite you to join us each Sunday, and we'd love to see you as a familiar face. Finally, the last thing I want to bring to your attention is in your service sheets, there was a little green card that looks just like this, and it says FAQ on it. In January, starting January 30th, we're going to be answering a few questions that people often have when they start exploring Christian things. And the way the format of the evening works is we're going to do it over three Thursday evenings. We're going to answer four questions each evening. It's short order, so each answer is only 10 minutes long, and there's a bit of back and forth for Q&A. Here's a few of the questions we're going to be asking. Do we have guardian angels? People often ask that question, so we're going to answer that one. What happens after death? And then the final one here is, how can you prove Christ's resurrection? We're going to be looking at those three questions, along with about 16 other questions. And on the night, it really is an opportunity just to ask a few questions. And so that's going to start on the 30th of January in the evening right here at Jersey Baptist Church. And all the details will be on those cards. Now, we're going to enjoy one another's company. We've got spiced cider and coffee and tea, and I think mince pies as well. I'm going to pray for us. But before I do, can everybody give us a big blow? Wonderful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for your Son. We pray that this Christmas we would reflect on Jesus, the promised Messiah King. And we pray that this truth would be good news in our lives. And finally, we thank you that as we celebrate the first coming of Christ, we can look forward with hopeful hearts to Christ's return, when Jesus will reign in glory as our eternal King. It's in his name we pray. Amen.